good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, July 28th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. How are you today, Melody?
I'm just fantastic. Thank you very much.
Me
too.
It's been
a great
day
here. Discount. Yes, it is. So we had a great day in gold today. We have gold up $11, $1,810. It kind of popped after Powell made some statements, and we'll talk about those a little bit later on in the program. Silver was up 34 cents at $25.10. Platinum was up $17, $1,072. Platinum was the winner of the day in the precious metals, and palladium was up 20, though, at 2,708. The USDX today was down 0.19 at 92.28. Crude oil was up 59 cents, $72.24. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow down 127 points, 34,930. The S&P basically unchanged, down a couple points, 4,400. NASDAQ was up, go figure, 102 points, 14,762. European markets overnight, all were positive. Asia, you have a mixed, Nikkei was down another almost 1.5%. Shanghai was down a little over 0.5%. And the 10-year yield, 1.23. So that dropped quite a bit since yesterday. And it's all because the Fed holds rates near zero, even though the economy has gotten better, and even with all of our pandemic worries and inflation. So, again, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. As for the first segment of the program, we do have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Melody. Hello, Pastor Butch.
Hi, Wendy. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I thought we'd talk about some new research. Yeah, some new research out of Rutgers about antibiotics affecting the brain. Probably haven't heard this, but, you know, most people understand that if you use antibiotics, you may have some issues with digestion, you know, but, you know, not the brain. So a lot of people take your antibiotics for infections and even serious infections when necessary. But most of the modern medicine has actually abused the area of antibiotics, so they've overprescribed this area. So some new research now from Rutgers University has shown that when antibiotics are given too early in a life of a child, they will suffer the consequences later. So I thought we'd check this out. This is a published journal article, July 2021, and the study is highlighting antibiotics not only creating super resistant bacteria, but it also affects the human brain and our immune system in not so great ways. So according to the research, when children are given antibiotics, at it kind of alters the developing brain in them in areas of cognitive and emotional area of development. So this could explain a lot, right, guys? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so this research did get published in the Journal of Eye Science in July of this year. So you probably wondered, well, how does this damage work? How is this doing this? Well, in this Rutgers study, they're pointing out that trillions of microbiome bacteria help our human body to function. So these are helpful microorganisms that constantly live in the human body. So this healthy flora or bacteria assists with gene expression, also allowing our cells to respond appropriately to function. So therefore, when the antibiotic attacks all the bacteria, regardless of how the body uses it, the process begins to degenerate our gene expression, and it also has a significant impact on the developing brains of children. In other words, this is what the report stated, quote, "Our findings suggest that by reducing widespread use of antibiotics or using alternatives when possible, this will help prevent neurodevelopmental problems." This is huge, really huge. They go on to say this study shows a correlation between altering the microbiome and a changes in the brain that should further be explored, end of quote. So nobody's ever stated this about using antibiotics before. And how many kids get loaded with antibiotics year after year, especially when they enter school because of colds and flus and things, you know?
Yes, they get a ton.
Well, and it's kind of widespread use. We know this in the United States, the use of common antibiotics like penicillin, ampicillin, amoxicillin, we didn't know that it could be damaging cognitive development in millions of children. So the average American child receives 3 courses of antibiotics before the age of 2. And sadly, these statistics are similar in other countries as well. So it affects the immunity because the researchers at Rutgers also mention some previous research that they did themselves when using animal studies and antibiotics. They said it changed the metabolism and also the immune system. So they said, we found that mice given penicillin experienced substantial changes in their intestinal microbiome. That's the intestinal flora. And they said it also altered gene expression in the frontal cortex and the myoganglia, 2 key areas of the brain that are responsible for developing memory and also in relation to emotions of fear and stress response. Wow. So when they altering the microbiome, our gene expression is altered. And so the Rutgers research team have described how the antibiotics can alter this brain that we have. They say they have evidence that it links and it tracks the signaling of the brain is disturbed when antibiotics get used. The more antibiotics are used, there's a risk that the brain's altered state could become permanent and change the function of the brain itself. They said what this could produce is, well, the research team lists some health problems that this could create later in childhood and in early adulthood. Neuropsychiatric disorders, neurodegenerative disorders, autism spectrum disorder, which is a child is challenged with the areas of speech, social interaction, and basic communications. Also, attention deficit disorder and hyperactivity disorder. Now, aren't these kind of like a plague? Haven't we heard a lot of these disorders recently?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. So the Rutgers team, you know, kept mentioning in their report the gene expression is altered by the antibiotics, and this makes you wonder what behaviors will develop in children if they get this messenger RNA vaccine. Right?
Right.
Yes.
It alters your gene expression. So this is especially troubling when you read research also from the University of North Carolina, their healthcare area. They published a report in October 2018, and they were stating that a child's emotional development is established within the first year of infancy. They go on to state,
wow.
Our study shows that the early brain development of the brain's emotional circuitry in infancy shows adult-like brain connections for emotional regulation, and they emerge during the first year of life, they said. They go on to say the growth in the second year of life affect the brain's circuits regarding IQ and emotional control up to 4 years of life. So this suggests that more studies need to be done to understand the brain's function and development in early years and how it relates to emotional problems. Well, if they're on a bunch of antibiotics the first 2 years of life, and then, you know, this brain is trying to develop things like intellect and emotions, holy crap, excuse my French, right?
Yes.
Right. I'm just worried for the youth of this country, if they're going to be getting antibiotics, and on top of antibiotics, a lot of messenger RNA vaccines, because a lot of your childhood vaccines are going to the messenger RNA field. Think about this for a minute. What are they going to be doing to these kids?
Well, only God knows for sure. It's just unbelievable, and that the parents would be so ignorant they would let this happen to the children. That goes beyond me.
Well, if I can find this information, why aren't pediatricians going, hold on, right?
I agree.
Why aren't doctors, general practitioners, you know, and I can answer this question somewhat. Doctors usually only read the journal articles in the journals that are to their specialty. Okay? So this this is in the Journal of Eye Science. Pediatricians may not even read that journal, and general practitioners may not either. So, I mean, there's a lot of information out there, but they may not be getting it.
And we just want to face it, we need a lot of them ignore it because there's more money on the other side.
Well, this is true. Money answers all things. And if a veterinarian clinic will ignore the damage the vaccines do to pets because they're making $5 million a year on vaccines, then hey.
Right, right.
So.
That's right.
It's bad. It's bad. I mean, I saw stuff working in healthcare. I worked in intensive care for a year. We had 13 beds in that unit, jumping all the time. I worked for anesthesiology in that division. I worked for the cardio floor, and then lastly, neurology. So I saw a bunch of stuff, and medicine isn't all cut and dry and pretty with a nice little bow on it like you see on, you know, TV shows. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that people don't really know about. It's not a perfect area, but it's promoted as being superior and knows all. Don't you kind of get intimidated a lot of times by physicians and staff, you know, because that's what they're selling you, you know.
That's right.
But personally, rather than risk my health to a lot of these medications, I know one of the things that bothers people is, you know, they get yeast infections when they're on antibiotics. But I want to say, reading these reports, that's the least of your problems. You know, that's the
sounds
least
that way.
Yeah. And so and then you've got the super bugs and they're developing even. Yeah, I think I talked to one person who had a urinary tract infection, and they were put on some really strong antibiotics because a lot of these infections for the urinary tract aren't responding to your standard, you know, low dose antibiotics. And those high dose things are really hard on the organs, the kidneys, and you get this really bad case of yeast. It's really bad. So people are having trouble with that. So I think if we just do our homework and we have some, you know, frank discussions with our physicians, maybe find an alternative, like this report saying, when possible, find an alternative. And that's real important, especially if you have kids that are under the age of 5.
Hmm.
So.
And what are those alternatives, Wendy?
Well, for infections, you know, a majority of the infections for kids, toddlers and stuff, you know, usually it's rhinoviruses, colds, a lot of mucus, and then also ear infections. A lot of those symptoms and those types of conditions are produced by cow milk allergies. So I would remove the cow's milk and watch those conditions dwindle into nothing. So you can kind of eliminate the cause, because there's a lot of antibiotics in cow's milk. People don't realize that, you know, the cows get injected with a lot of antibiotics because they get mastitis because they're milked all the time. And they're trying to avoid an udder infection, so they pump these cows full of antibiotics. So you're getting it in your milk, your cheese.
It's basically buy the milk out of the store.
Well, and you forget about cheese and yogurt and ice cream, but it's all in there too. One slice of cheese is 8 glasses of milk. That's what it is. And you got a pizza, and you got your lasagna. You're getting it in there, unfortunately. Of course, you can go to organic milk, which, you know, probably it would be healthier, but it's still a mucusy-producing food, and it's one of the top food allergens. And a lot of times the body just gets overwhelmed with the food that it's allergic to, that, you know, then you break out with symptoms of, you know, congestive colds and ear infections, sore throats, or even skin conditions like eczema and psoriasis. That's another symptom of a milk allergy. So it's really easy to test these things. You just get rid of what you think the offensive food is, and it takes 2 weeks for that protein to come out of your system. So give it 2 weeks, and then you can introduce that food, if you want, back into the diet, and usually the reaction will be immediate within 1 to 2 days. So you'll know. You can keep a food journal, too. But the top allergen foods for most people are going to be, other than the cow's milk, it's going to be nuts and wheat and shellfish. So for kids, the top two big food allergens, aside from peanuts and milk, would be wheat. So you can actually take all those out of the diet if you suspect. Go off of it 2 weeks and then introduce one back in at a time to locate which one it is. That way you don't have to go for allergy testing.
Yeah. So peanuts?
Peanuts. A lot
peanuts
of kids
are
get
bad,
that.
Yes.
Yeah, they
yes.
get that anaphylactic shock response, and a lot of kids go to school with EpiPens, you know?
I was thinking of, you know, a different type of reaction with the peanuts, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a food allergy where they, you know, same thing with people have sensitivities to things like MSG. That's typically, that's really bad on salad bars where they kind of soak the lettuce in that stuff, and people have an anaphylactic shock to that. So a lot of times we're just allergic to our diet and just don't know it. And we have a lot of power over what we put in our system or what we don't. And we can alleviate the need for a lot of these antibiotics just by being a little bit more sensitive to what the body's trying to say. So I know that I was allergic to milk and didn't know it. It wasn't until my daughter, when she was 8, her ears filled up with fluid, and they wanted to put tubes in her ears. So we went on this wheat and dairy-free diet for 2 weeks, and the fluid drained, and she could hear fine. As soon as we introduced the milk back in, it filled back up, so we knew it was milk. But I came off the milk with her, and I noticed I felt better, and I didn't have my usual throat infection each year or sinus infection. So obviously she inherited my sensitivity to dairy. But anyway, we are at the last few days of our summer end of summer sale at Apothecary Herbs, 20% off orders of $50 or more. Take advantage of that. New catalog's coming next month, and prices will change. So this is a good time to save and stock up at the old price. Give us a call at Apothecary Herbs at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit us at thepowerherbs.com. And I hope you guys just, you know, kind of watch those antibiotics out there.
Have you seen inflation in your pricing of your products that you have to purchase?
Yeah, see, our catalog that we have now, which is our 20th anniversary catalog, it's really our 2018 pricing. We haven't upped prices since then. And, yes, we saw a big jump when gas went up especially and COVID hit. Yeah, we've seen a big jump.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Give us your telephone number.
Absolutely. 866-229-3663. That's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663. And visit us on the web at thepowerherbs.com. And as you often say, sign up for the newsletters of the American Survival. So get empowered, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And don't forget to send it over, Wendy.
Yeah.
Excellent job. Excellent job.
All right.
I want to thank you, Wendy, and we'll talk to you next week. So, and we'll be right back right after this short break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. iSciencesRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Butch Paul, Pastor Butch Paul. And, heading into the first segment, I talked about how Jerome Powell decided to hold the rates near zero as the economy has gotten better. You would think if the economy has gotten better that they might start raising rates, but no. So they held the benchmark interest rates near zero and said the economy continues to progress despite concerns over the pandemic spread. The FOMC concluded the two-day meeting by keeping the interest rates the same. Along with that, the committee said in a unanimous approved statement that the economy continues to strengthen. Despite the optimism about the economy, Chairman Jerome Powell said that the Fed is nowhere near considering a rate hike. That means they're nowhere near pulling back on anything else either. Their approach has been to be transparent as we can. That's a joke. We have not reached substantial further progress yet. We see ourselves having some ground to cover to get there. Substantial further progress on inflation and employment is the benchmark the Fed has set before it will tighten policy, which would mean slowing and ultimately stopping monthly bond purchases and ultimately raising interest rates. The statement noted that only the progress has been made and the FOMC will continue to watch conditions. The notation that, in quotation marks, progress has been made towards the Fed's goals on employment and inflation was nevertheless seen as a nod that changes to policy, particularly regarding the monthly bond purchases, could be on the way out. So they're beginning to think that the Fed has actually started the tapering clock. And so that's what moved the markets late in the day. And just remember, it's so important to remember, the central bank is still buying 120, at least, and they're so transparent, at least $120 billion a month in bonds, with at least $80 billion going to treasuries and another $40 billion floor on the mortgage-backed securities. With their mortgage purchases, there's a lot of critics out there who are saying that that's what's helping to stoke another housing bubble. We've seen the housing prices at record levels. Sure, we've seen some sales have tailed off and amid the tightening supply, on the other hand, we're still in that bubble that was being created. And that's what happens. That's what happens when you're trying to keep an economy going by stimulus. You create bubbles. And eventually these bubbles break because bubbles are usually just short term. Although the treasury markets, that has really been a very long term bubble. So they still have to discuss the inflation fears, and so we'll have to see things about that. And I can't believe, Butch, with all of the infrastructure spending, I guess it's now back up to 3-point-some trillion and so forth. I don't know what happened to the 900-some billion dollars that both sides were agreeing to, but now it's back up to 3 that he's trying to push through, President Biden. But now they're beginning to talk about Social Security.
Well, I've been talking about the infrastructure bill. I have an article here that they have a somewhat of agreement on a $1.2 trillion bill. So Biden pushed it back up again over these senators.
He's working on it, but by the time they continue to add things. So we'll see where it really ends, but that's his baby, 3-something. They'll get it back up there.
You know, Maddie, you're talking about what the Fed has done and what it's been doing longer than you and I have been alive. They've been doing 100-something years now, longer than that probably. But nonetheless, wouldn't you think after a while, once you've seen the magician's trick 30, 40 times, we figure it out?
You think.
It's basically the same thing over and over again. And, you know, they go further in debt. They call it more inflation. But it keeps the economy running. I guess you could say it does keep it at least running enough to keep people content. But when you think after a while we can figure out this is nothing but a facade and smoke and mirrors.
It's all an illusion.
It is an illusion. Mm-hmm. And people are believing in something that isn't real. It looks real, has the appearance of being real, the market's booming, everything looks like it's going up, and everybody's just prospering, but it isn't real. So I don't know. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I figured that a long time ago. This is not real. You mentioned Social Security. What's going on there?
Well, you know, the Congressional Budget Office released a report on Social Security's long-term viability. And, I mean, this isn't anything new or shocking, but they're saying that it's going to run out of money by 2032 if the problem is not addressed. And I think this is where we've seen that with Biden being in his sixth month in office, he's done a couple pieces of legislation, included the American Rescue Plan Act in March of 2021. The president also negotiated a bipartisan $1 trillion infrastructure bill and is attempting to pass it alongside a much larger bill. So they're trying to get done a couple of bills, but they'll all be in with that infrastructure bill. So both bills still remain uncertain, but one of the things that might push the president numbers is he's going, if he tries to reform the Social Security Trust Fund, and President Bush tried to do it. He was not successful at it. And so we have, for those of you who are on Social Security, that's going to run out in 2032 based on their numbers. I assume it'll run out much sooner than that with our debt. The Disability Insurance Trust Fund, that's a separate fund that provides for disabled Americans, is going to last only until 2035. So.
Well, did I understand you to say that they're going to add some Social Security help in with the infrastructure bill? Is that what I understood?
Well, no, I was talking about both of them at the same time.
Okay.
But,
all right.
You know, Biden will have to address, somebody's going to have to address the Social Security, or just let the market fall. Just crash the system. They don't have to worry about it then.
Possibility. And how much of a raise do Social Security recipients get first a year?
Hey, I heard it was probably the biggest in a long time. It'll probably make a difference of maybe, what, $60, I heard?
Yeah, that's it. And we all know inflation is nowhere near that high.
That's not even a tank of gas.
No, it's not. Oh, it's amazing. But again, credit where credit's due. They've been able to keep this thing moving very unsteadily, but they've been keeping it going, keeping the people pacified for a long time, thinking everything's okay because the markets are booming and everything's just fine. And when it comes down, it's going to be a great surprise to the masses. You know that.
I mean, there's a
great
lot of
surprise.
People in, there's a lot of people in disability and Social Security that are barely getting by.
That's very, very
what
true.
Are they going to do without those checks?
I totally agree. I mean, I totally agree.
I mean, when it runs out, it runs out.
I mean, how are they going to keep it going? Where are the funds going to come from?
Yeah.
Would they cut it to save it a little bit better than nothing? Would that happen? Is it possible?
Probably.
Maybe in the next few years they realize it's going to go out, so maybe they'll cut it, let's say, in half. I don't know about you all, but I have a tough time making it on half.
I mean, that's 10 years.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
That's just 10 years. Go back to 10 years in the past, how quick that went.
It's just unbelievable. So, folks, this is how shaky things are. When they start telling you this is getting close, maybe we should pay attention. But they still spend like there's no limit and no one cares. And what happened to the budget ceiling? Have they increased that yet?
Oh, yes. There's not even a whisper about that.
And that runs out when?
I thought it was supposed to run out at the end of this month.
That's what I thought, just a few days from now.
Yep.
But I haven't heard a word about that from anybody. Not one peep from anyone. So
nope.
I don't know what their plans are with that either.
You know, Patrick Buchanan had a great article that he sent out this week, and it was all about, you know, this commission and the Democrats. Everything is about January 6th. And he says that's the only thing they have. January 6th is the only thing that they have so they can keep their seats next year. He says, because they can't talk about the economy. They can't talk about the great job that they've done with COVID. They can't talk about anything else. But they can stay focused on this commission and what happened on January 6th. And so you're right, Butch. That's all we're going to hear about. We're not going to hear about the debt ceiling. We're not going to hear about anything else because that's their way to stay in office. And that's all they've got to talk about.
What a bunch of hypocrites. I'm not saying January 6th was something that should have happened and it did happen. I'm not saying that. But they mentioned nothing but the riots that literally burned homes and properties and killed people with the BLM and Antifa. Nothing said about that. But some people stormed the Capitol, and it looks like the whole nation is going to fall apart because somebody got inside the Capitol. No one was hurt except the lady that was shot by a cop to speak of. And they're really pumping this up to be something really huge. It was an attempted coup, and it really was an attempted coup. It was not treason. People fed up what's happening. But nonetheless, BLM and Teeth and others have destroyed properties and cities, literally took over cities, city blocks and city sections of towns, and no one says a word about that. I wonder what their game is, Melody.
Gee, I wonder.
It's amazing how we have become so indifferent about what's happening to our country as a whole. Not everybody, but as a whole. Seems like nothing really gets people caught up too much in what's happening. And we see around the world people getting fed up what's happening with COVID and these other things. But in America, it's very, very, complacent. Nothing seems to bother anybody. So that's my opinion on that.
And there's just so much, there's so many little stories and things that are happening that they're just, people are just being pushed into the ground. I mean, I saw one report on this restaurant owner. He put flags out over the July 4th weekend, and he got fined.
Yes, I saw that.
Supposedly because it wasn't in the ordinance. You know, he wasn't following the proper ordinances and so forth for, you know, displaying flags during the holidays. There shouldn't even be an ordinance for flying a flag over the July 4th weekend or whatever.
That's absurd.
There shouldn't be one.
That's absurd. Totally absurd.
So
it is. I mean, but that's where we are today in America. We're so overregulated. I read somewhere you're breaking, I don't remember how many laws today, felonies and misdemeanors. You're breaking laws every day and don't even know it. Every citizen breaks laws every day and doesn't know it. Let's say you burn some trash outside. You know, if you burn the raw material, that can be a fine, a misdemeanor, because you're polluting the air. I don't think about that when I burn paper trash. I burn trash. You know, so I don't know, maybe, but we're breaking laws every day. And when it comes to a point you have to get a permit to hang a flag on the 4th of July, that's a little bit of overreach. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, I could see if it was obstructing, you know, vision from automobiles going down the road and so forth, but it was back far enough from the road that it did not do that.
It's insane.
They're going to continue to divide, to divide, to divide. Someone sent me something that they wanted me to become a member at one of the art leagues here in the Ocean City area. So I went to the website. The first thing on the website was a little block, and in it says, "We accept everyone. It didn't matter their race, their sex, their sexual preference, their gay." And I'm thinking to myself, that is more racist than not having anything up there at all. They're the ones who are deciding who can. They're telling everybody can join, but just by their statement, it's like, who cares? I mean, it turned me off.
Absolutely.
If you
and,
were,
and if you would join and disagree, you'd be ostracized.
Exactly. And they're the ones that are saying, oh, we're so inclusive.
Yeah.
Are you kidding
exactly.
me? I was just shocked. I shouldn't be, but I was. I'm sad.
A divided nation eventually comes to total corruption and destruction. We know that. And it affects everything, including finances. People don't want to talk about that, but it does include finances. When you're so divided as a country, you can't even hold down a job, or because you may offend somebody, or other disruptions happen, it does affect us all. It affects all of us. And I thank God that I'm no longer in the workforce full-time, because I would have a lot of problems, a lot of things now. I know it. But this is America today. Divide and mm-hmm. conquer, and they're doing a little bit every day in a different direction.
Yeah.
But anyway, something different. Mm-hmm. Walmart is going to pay 100% of college tuition for all of its workers that want it. Now, how about that? Walmart will pay for full college tuition and book costs at some schools for its U.S. workers. The latest effort by the largest private employer in the country to sweeten its benefits as it seeks to attract and retain talent in a tight job market. The program includes 10 academic partners ranging from the University of Arizona to Southern New Hampshire University. Participants must remain part-time or full-time employees at Walmart to be eligible. The company said Tuesday that it will drop a previous $1 a day fee paid by Walmart and Sam's Club workers who want to earn a degree, and also begin covering the cost of their books. Around 28,000 workers participate in this program, which Walmart began in 2018. Walmart employs 1.5 million workers. So, I guess good for them, I suppose. I guess they're profiting pretty good to be able to do that. Would you agree?
Well, of course. You know, what's the catch? There's always a catch. I mean, you know, how do you qualify? I mean, when I was working my way up through the insurance industry, they always paid for my education. I mean, there was lots of education, lots of college and classes that I went to in order, and they paid for it. So it's, you know, and then to some degree that went by the wayside. I don't think that happened so much. So it is a great thing. But is it going to happen to the little guy that's checking out your groceries? Probably not. Probably middle management. But I think it's great.
I was a little bit shocked they offered to do that. That could amount to millions of dollars. That's true. So
yeah,
we'll see what comes
billions.
Out of that.
They make billions. And also, they're tagging up to these colleges. So, again, we know what colleges do. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
That's true.
They're grooming them. They're grooming them.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. iscientificradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188 for Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And I ran a little special this morning. I was on Beth Ann's program, and we had a $50 face value, 90% silver quarters. We've had a tube of the Silver Eagles, the 1 ounce American Silver Eagles. Now these are the type twos, the ones with the new design. They are out. They are being shipped. And what's nice about the new Silver Eagles is the mint has tagged. They put tape over each lid. So we used to open, before they taped them, we would open, put a little peanut in there just so they wouldn't rattle during shipment. Well, we're not going to do that anymore because we don't want to break the seal on the Silver Eagles. So you get 20 of those, and you get $50 face value. That's 200 quarters. And it includes shipping for $1,776. That's $1,776. So an easy number to remember, I hope.
It is. Good number.
Good number. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188 and get your Silver Starter Kit today. What's next, Butch?
Speaking of that, I will tell the folks that had a call from one of my listeners today. Or actually, I had to call him back. I went in the office to call to answer it. But he was looking for some junk silver, and he couldn't find anywhere. And I told him that you have it. They'd call you up as soon as possible that you do have it. So apparently, maybe it's a little bit of a short supply on that. I don't know that. Do you know whether there is in some areas or no?
If you go to your local stores, your local corner store, yeah, they might have problems. But there doesn't seem to be any delays at the moment.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. I told them to give you all a call as soon as possible. And here we go again.
I just want to finish this up real quick. I was ready to go on, but I just saw this. It was out of the Wall Street Journal. White evangelicals resist COVID-19 vaccine most among religious groups. So now they're going to come out and they're going to, it's us.
Well,
it's
Harris
us that
said,
are rejecting.
Harris said, if what, how'd she word that? That you would get the shot if you love your neighbor or something like that. And somebody said, somebody else said, well, if you're a real Christian, you'll get the shot. This is coming, folks. This is going to cause problems.
Yep.
It really is. And I do it on purpose. Please know this is not something that wasn't planned long before this happened. But here we go back to the COVID game again. Anyone who gets a first dose at a city-run site starting Friday, July 30th, will get $100. New York City will require all municipal workers to get the coronavirus vaccine by mid-September or face weekly COVID-19 testing. Starting this Friday, New York City will pay $100 to anyone who goes to the city-run vaccination site for the first dose of COVID-19 vaccine, de Blasio said. The announcement comes just days after the mayor said that all city workers will have to be vaccinated or go through strict weekly testing protocols. It also comes amid a surge in cases in the city driven by the explosion of the Delta variant. Last Friday, the rolling average of new daily cases was 32% higher than a week prior. According to the New York State Department of Health, data between 45 and 65% of New York City's residents are fully vaccinated, depending on the borough. Now, I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but I'll find this article maybe some more detail in a minute. But apparently, those who are spreading the according to this article, I'm trying to find it. But anyway, in Israel, 84% of the people who are catching the new variant have been vaccinated already. And they're saying that the vaccines are helping spread this because it makes the people sort of toxic when they've been vaccinated by other people. So the businesses are requiring some places to mask up, and some places are requiring them, if they have the shot, they can come in. We will see, folks, but this is causing division on both sides. And America has been very quiet as a whole about riots and different demonstrations over this. The whole world's erupting over this. And I do believe when America finally gets caught up and gets angry enough, it's going to be nasty out there. The USA Today, listen to this. USA Today, you have something you want? I'm sorry, you say something?
Yeah, I also heard, you know, with this so-called Delta variant, that yes, it is highly transmissible, but it wasn't as sickly. It didn't make you as sick as what the COVID, the initial virus was. And that was from one of the mainstream people they trot across the networks who was saying this. So kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
If you listen, you can hear them tell you the truth.
Yes, you can.
Between their little lies.
And it's not that hard to find if you look for it, folks. It really isn't. USA Today scrubs passage suggesting vaccinated individuals may spread COVID with higher levels of virus. NBC News, citing unnamed officials aware of the decision, reported it comes after new data suggests vaccinated individuals could have a higher levels of virus and infect others amid the surge of cases driven by the Delta variant of the coronavirus. The USA Today reported in a passage that was later scrubbed from an article. They said it, then it backed out on it. As I said, 84% of the people in Israel who are catching the virus again have been vaccinated. And so, folks, believe me, this is a game they're playing to make us fall under their control even more. And only God knows what's in the vaccine, what's going to do to us in the future. I get lots of information. You can go to our website, PastorButch.com. Look under COVID hoax. I expect people, if they watch some things on there, will definitely stay away from this because it's so dangerous. So dangerous. But CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said new data shows the Delta variant, which accounts for more than 80% of the new infections in the U.S., behaves uniquely differently from its predecessor and can make vaccinated people infectious. Can make vaccinated people infectious. There you go. How much clearer can you get in that? They're saying that vaccinations aren't going to stop it. So why keep taking them? A little bit different story here, but I think it's interesting nonetheless and kind of sad. With Tampa Bay in grip of red tide, shrimpers turn their nets toward death. This is really a sad statement. Tolliver and Jessica Tucker are used to the dark, oily water, the bulging eyes, and gray flesh decaying to a pulp in the city's bayous. They have become accustomed to the smell. God, the smell, they say, of all the rotting fish and gruesome flotillas, victims of a toxic red tide in Tampa Bay. But the maggots are new. White and wriggling, they circle the scales of a rotting sheep's head. They climb seawalls at water's edge. These canals are sick, said Tolliver, 43. It's devastating. I've thought about crying. Pinellas County has hired an ad hoc armada of shrimp boats like the Tuckers to comb local waters with nets. About 30 boats have helped. In total, the county has collected more than 1,440 tons of dead sea life and debris from the beaches to the day. The boats are the most effective tool for keeping fish off land, where they are not only a grisly sight, but harder to pick up once they immediately become tangled in sand, trees, and rocks. Cleaning the bay is not just a matter of vanity. The dead fish, if left to degrade, could supply more nutrients to the fueled red tide. We're seeing shrimpers having to collect dead fish instead of fishing for shrimp. Could that cause a little bit of a shortage of something people may enjoy, Melody?
You think, well, prices will rise significantly.
Absolutely will. Of course it will. And folks, maybe we ought to pay attention to all this. Maybe there's a God in heaven who's righteous and judgment is upon us. Maybe you should pay attention to this. And, of course, in the border, things are heating up again. Texas governor orders National Guard to arrest migrants. Texas Governor Greg Abbott on Tuesday ordered the National Guard to help local law enforcement with arresting migrants as the state continues to see the influx of people crossing the southern border. Abbott sent his request for more manpower to mitigate border crossings in a letter to Major General Tracy R. Norris, the Texas Military Department. To respond to this disaster and secure the rule of law at our southern border, more manpower is needed. In addition to the troopers from the Texas Department of Public Safety and soldiers from the Texas National Guard have already deployed there, and DPS needs to help in arresting those who are violating the law, the letter stated, according to the news outlet. I hereby order that the Texas National Guard assist DPS in enforcing Texas law by arresting lawbreakers at the border. National Guardsmen deployed under state orders are legally allowed to conduct law enforcement. Abbott has reportedly slammed President Biden for his handling of the increased border crossings, with Tuesday's move marking his latest attempt to counteract it. Officials at the border have reportedly apprehended 1,000 migrants attempting to enter the United States. Nearly 189,000 attempted crossing the border in June. The Hill has reached out to the White House and the Department of Homeland Security for a comment. Last week, state law enforcement officials started arresting migrants on trespassing charges as part of Abbott's plan to crack down on border crossings. Now, I understand arrested on trespassing charges. But Melody, what kind of penalty comes with that? I mean, how long are they in jail? What did they do with them?
I don't know.
Well, I thought for sure you'd know.
I don't know.
If they're in jail for 30 days trespassing, they send them back across the border, or what they do with
them?
They should. I mean,
you know, I've heard they're trying to get a fast citizenship, for 8 million. So maybe they'll be included in that.
But how are they going to keep all those people in jail? Where are they going to house them all?
I don't know.
That's just curious about that.
Because
9,000 one month, you get that much jail space on the border. Something to think about. And if COVID isn't enough, already happening, deadly untreatable fungus, resistant to all medication, spreading rapidly across USA. A deadly fungal infection that can be resistant to all existing treatments has been worrying health officials following recent outbreaks in hospitals and care homes around the USA. New cases of a deadly fungal infection that is resistant to all existing treatments are spreading through nursing homes and hospitals across the United States for the first time, health officials said. Whoopee! Here we go again. There's a chapter in the Bible in Deuteronomy 28:28. He said that he will give the plagues, the people disobey him, he'll bring plagues upon the people. Is that happening? I don't know, but if this is real and it's untreatable fungus, it's brand new to the country and nothing treats it, people dying from it. Now, to me, that sounds more severe than COVID. What do you think, Billy?
Yeah, it could be, because they're not talking about it, and those are the ones that you have to be careful of.
That's exactly right. And this next article, I think, I've tried to verify this. As far as I can tell, it's all true. Department of Justice declares COVID-19 vaccines mandates are legal. Federal law doesn't prohibit public agencies, private businesses from requiring vaccines for employees. The Department of Justice concluded in an opinion that federal law doesn't prohibit public agencies and private businesses from requiring COVID-19 vaccines under the Food and Drug Administration's emergency use authorization. On July 26th, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs in California, New York City, said they would require some of the government workers to get the COVID-19 shot or be tested weekly. Veterans Affairs, they're the first federal agency to mandate vaccines for all the employees. So, of course, I expect the VA to be one of the first. It's all federal. Of course they're going to do it. And it's all for all employees. Now, eventually it'll be for all veterans, I bet you. I bet you folks, if you want treatment, you'll get the shot if you're a veteran, and I am. But the DOJ says it's totally legal. The businesses and governments can make you get vaccinated or get tested. Wow. It says Biden will require federal workers to get the COVID vaccine or submit to testing. President Joe Biden is expected to announce his administration will require federal workers to be vaccinated for the coronavirus or else submit to strict testing measures. The new measures arrive with a highly transmittable Delta variant spreads around the world, including in the U.S., where it represents a huge proportion of new infections. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reversed its guidance for wearing masks indoors. So you heard that already? CDC said you need to wear a mask indoors whether you're vaccinated or not. So, okay, what's next? If the DOJ says it's legal, does it make it legal? Your opinion.
You know what's interesting, though? I just had the article up, and I think I lost it here. But it was about India, because that's where the Delta variant came from. It was from India. And the report that I was reading was, so what is the condition of India now? I mean, you heard it when they were peaking out at these horrible numbers, but their latest peak was like in May of this year, and it started, what, a year ago? I mean, in just 2 months, it has dropped considerably. And I heard Dr. Gottlieb on the CNBC program. He's saying this Delta variant isn't going to be around long. He says you're going to start seeing the numbers begin dropping again in 2 months. So they're sure doing a lot of hoopla for a two-month increase on this Delta variant.
But now don't worry. Trump is coming to our rescue. Trump blast the mask. We won't go back. Now, I wonder how many people in the federal government that's going to impress enough that they're going to back off wearing telling people to wear a mask. I think
what?
Trump has lost his oomph. You follow what I'm saying? Are you
no.
still there?
Yes,
okay,
I'm here.
Well, Trump,
what did
Trump
you say
blast
about Trump?
I think he's lost his oomph. Nobody's listening to him now. He's still mouthing off. Nobody's paying attention to him. You know, he's back to a Republican office, I don't remember which one it was, in Texas, and the gentleman lost. So Trump is still mouthing off and said, we're not going to go back in the mask mandates. We're not going to do it. We won't go back. But I just wonder what he's going to try to do about it.
Yeah, I know.
Just a point of interest, I just thought, you know.
It is interesting. It really is. But we'll have to talk about it another time. We're out of time. And so until we're back, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.